Yes. I mean, we can make it work, but I just don't know if I don't know. I think only for the cat, just because it would be funny. And then we can go into other things after.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, but I'm totally going to do that to Sterling. Like, he's not even going to, and it's going to be, he's going to forget that I said I was going to do that. And I know he's going to forget. And then you watch, his cat's going to make noise. And I'm going to bust out with it. Is that your cat? And it's just going to throw him off. If for a few seconds, it will throw him off. You watch.
It mark might, my words, yeah.
Mark my words to the fans, because all this is in the recording. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. I'm going to make this happen.
Yes. All right. You want to start us off?
Sure. Hey, Cine fans. So normally we when we have a conversation to begin, there's some sort of context or some sort of lead in to what we're talking about. But unfortunately, that random "is that your cat?" Sterling's cat's making noise and bugging him about it has nothing to do with this podcast. So not exactly a segue, but actually, today, this is going to be a bonus episode, and it's just your resident wrestler, Jastin Taylor, and of course, everyone's favorite Cinema Slayer, Heather, and it's just going to be us two today, and we're going to be talking about HBO's hit new series, Euphoria. So this is going to be a podcast talking about our likes and dislikes and everything in between for this 7-episode series that debuted on HBO. And with that being said, we'll start with you, Heather. Just give us a few things that stood out to you about Euphoria.
Okay, there is so much to unpack in this show, because it's just filled with so much stuff. And I do think, wasn't it 8 episodes? I want to say it might have been 8 and not 7. But either way, it's a short series that was on. But man, okay. So I honestly kind of had an idea of what to expect with the show when I started watching it. And I was kind of like, I don't know, it might be too hard for me to watch because it's a lot of really heavy stuff, kind of like Big Little Lies, which we talked about before, but even more so because it's teenagers and it's high schoolers and it's just all the things that they deal with in this day and age. And it just, I felt like it was going to be a really hard thing for me to want to watch. But from that first episode, I was like, I just need to know what's going to happen here. It really captivates you from the very first episode. So I love that, you know, they have Rue, who is Zendaya, as the narrator of it, and just kind of giving you inside thoughts or just kind of the mindsets of the people that she's telling her story about that week. And I loved how they do it in like a progression of it's a different person is kind of the main topic of conversation for that week, which I thought was a really cool way to organize that. And it didn't feel like they were disconnected. It still connected all the stories in every episode. It just kind of gives you a little background into some of these other characters in it, which was really cool. So I did love how they did that. They started off talking about when these teenagers were kids and growing up and their life and their childhood, including her own. So I thought that was really cool. And it was just a very beautiful way to kind of start out the show. So that was definitely something that stuck out for me. And honestly, like, these performances are insane. Like, Jeff, man, I know you and I had talked about this before a little bit, but man, those performances, like, it's hard to say just one person because all of them are fantastic. But
yes,
shout out to Zendaya for real, because you want to talk about like someone who went from Disney star to this, and just her range of acting is insane. It is crazy. And she is fantastic. Yeah. She's so perfect in this role. I loved everything that she did with it. Just her raw emotion and everything that you see throughout this show with her. It is incredible. But I also do want to give a shout out to Nate, who is, I'm escaping his name right now. What is his name? Hold on, I'm looking for his name. Do you remember his name? The guy who plays Nate?
Yes. Jacob Elroydy.
Yes.
Elroydy. Yes.
Yes. So that guy, he's also very fantastic because, Elroydy. Yeah. Jacob Elroydy. Yes. Okay.
So Elroydy. Okay.
The only other thing I've seen him in, apart from this, was a super chick flick movie on Netflix called The Kissing Booth. I don't know if you saw that, Justin, but it was...
No, I missed that one.
Not surprised, but not that I'm saying it was like a bad movie. It was very much a chick flick, so... You know, it's what you're expecting from it. But he was the absolute complete opposite character in that movie. And that was the first thing I saw him in. And then I see him in this. This guy is like, he's phenomenally talented. I mean, he was already doing a great job at being this brooding, conflicted character that they made him in this show. Nate, who's kind of, he's the quarterback, is that right, of the football team? And
yes, quarterback.
Yeah, so he's like this very popular, you know, good looking guy. I feel like his whole future is ahead of him, but his family life is just like the worst. Like you really do feel for him, and you wonder, like, well, that's probably why he has all these messed up thoughts in his head, which you find out throughout the show, just sort of how his mind works and how kind of dangerous and violent he can really be. But at the same time, he does pull it off to where you do feel for him sometimes in it too. And like, how would anyone else be growing up in an environment in the way that he had, you know? So I just think he was so great at being that vulnerable character where you know, he doesn't want to show that side of him and he doesn't want to be that guy, but you just see that coming out, and like just seeing the things that his dad's doing and, you know, the relationships that he has with women and people, and just the really dysfunctional type of things that his father's doing, really, and they really affect him. But he's just, I mean, he was a very dynamic character. There were a lot of layers to him, and I loved how they showed that. And so those two were just super standout performances for me. Although the whole cast is amazing, I just, those two really stuck with me and were very captivating. So that's the first thing I just wanted to say about those for sure.
Yeah. And man, I can mirror that same sentiment about Zendaya in this. Like, I thought, and you know, my introduction to her was the Spider-Man movies. I guess I didn't really follow her through what she did, if she did anything with Disney before that or had any other films before that. I didn't see her. My introduction to her was definitely the Spider-Man movies. And I thought that among the Spider-Man cast, I thought that Tom Holland, out of those youth, out of the Spider-Man cast and all the youth and the kids and everything like that, I thought that out of those young actors and actresses, Tom Holland was the most talented.
Yeah, 100% though.
But after seeing this, I mean, Zendaya might give him a run for his money.
Right.
Like this, this is like transcendent type of stuff. Just the storytelling, the layers of the characters. I mean, I really do feel like this is one of the better shows I've seen all year, like better things, character studies that I've seen all year. And Zendaya is a big part of that. And I like what you said about her. You know, it was interesting because in the first episode, we kind of get her narrating her story. And you're right. You didn't realize that was going to, even though it was setting the tone in the first episode, they were actually setting you up for the format of her narrating everybody's sort of origin story or beginnings or childhood or how this character became who they were. So that was great. And to me, those are some of the most intriguing scenes in this series. It's just those opening scenes where it's talking about why this person is the way they are. And one that just definitely stood out to me. Episode 4 is probably my favorite. I mean, that might be something to go in later. But in episode 4, the Jules story was magnificently done to me. Like that character, just like everything about that character. Like I liked that it was this that it's this trans character, and the actor or the actress is trans also. So I liked all of that, man. I liked all the layers of that and how it starts with this little boy who it just hates being in their own skin and doesn't know how to deal with that and is having all these issues and they hate themselves. And then, you know, with the parents, with the mother surprising him and him winding up in the psychiatric ward and everything like that. And then that, then overcoming that, and then back with the father, the mother was sick and then left. And then the transition from, a male to female, and then everything that came kind of with that. And then now being in high school, like, I just loved that story, man. Like, I loved all everything that they did with that, the music that was playing with that, that, that humming and that, ooh, and oh, I don't even know what the, if the song has a name or whatever, but that was very catchy. Like that whole scene I just loved, and just learning kind of what that character was. And I love that even though there is a trans character in this, this was not something where they were trying to demonize people who are trans. It's not like her whole story just revolves around her being trans. This is really a story about this person with these feelings and these emotions and all these layers and things like that. And I think that that was just such a great thing about this show, is that it really does focus on the characters more than anything that is happening or anything like that. Really, you're here for the characters and you want to know what happens next. And you want to know what is the decision this character is going to make in this situation. And you're definitely right about Nate as well. Man, I couldn't imagine being a little kid and finding your father's video, you know, self-made video porn stash where he's having sex with guys and basically living this double life. I mean, just imagine what that would do to a kid or what that would make a kid feel and everything like that. And that's what I love about the Nate character, is that it's almost like on one side of him, there's this curiosity, but then on the other side of him, he is trying to fight that. He doesn't, it's almost like he doesn't want to be like his dad. Like he's trying to control all these scenarios in his life. And he likes having a woman that he feels like he owns and controls, and everything is about control for him. And when he doesn't have that control, you see those anger issues coming out and things like that. And it's almost like there's a part of him that's kind of fascinated with his dad's life, which leads into that kind of with his interactions with the Jules character and everything like that. But then you can tell that there's this part of him that's also trying to rebel against that. And you could just see all this conflict in that character. So you're definitely right that there's definitely a lot there with the Nate character. And I like the Cat character as well. I like this idea of someone who was popular online, but nobody in her local town or nobody at her local high school knew anything about her. So that was very interesting too. And, you know, she was this girl with all these insecurities and everything like that. And always you could tell she kind of was always kind of ashamed of her body and had these insecurities, especially when it comes to like sex and being sexual and things like that. But at the same time, she always kind of had that about her because she was this writer on this create fan fiction writer and amassed millions of viewers and stuff like that and subscriptions and stuff like that. So obviously that was in her, but there was no way for her to really get that out or express herself. And ironically, through something that seems bad or seems negative, like she like it's this high school girl doing these, you know, creating this site and kind of going into the world of pornography and self-made porn and to being a dominatrix online and all that stuff. But the crazy thing is that she found empowerment in that. She found kind of a sexual empowerment and a confidence. And that was a very interesting story too.
Yeah. And like, just to kind of, to talk a little bit more about that too, I really liked Kat's character, especially at the beginning, because I think that her character and just her body type in general, like, she just speaks to a lot of women in America, you know, that you know, they have those insecurities and they feel a certain way because they don't look a certain way and they feel like they have to look this way or they just aren't attractive. And you even see that even though she has this confidence now that she's kind of had like a sexual awakening of sorts, she has this confidence about her. And there's just no denying that that confidence made her a more attractive person to the guys, you know?
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing because you always hear that. You always hear people say like confidence is the most attractive thing about a person. And you're just like, honestly, you're kind of right, though. You know what I mean? And I think this story did really well with being true to that. But even in that confidence, it's almost, you almost feel like she's doing like a fake it till you make it type of thing with how she feels about herself. Because even mm-hmm. later on, you feel like she's still kind of like, you know, online when the guy, whoever it was that was like, I want you to undress. And she was still kind of like, I don't do that, you know? And then even when the one guy, her friend, the one that she actually, they liked each other, and I'm escaping his name right now too, but the guy that sat next to her in class that, you know, they like had a thing for each other, and he just truly, truly liked her. And he just, Ethan is his name. And he just completely like was enthralled with her before she was that confident sexual being, you know, like he liked her for who she was at the beginning. And she still just couldn't see that or accept that or believe it, because she just automatically assumed when she's going off, you know, at the carnival and she's getting whatever the drinks or whatever for them, she just immediately assumes that him talking to this girl means that, oh, well, because she's a cute, tiny little blonde, so he must like her. And it wasn't even like that. So you still see, like, in her own head and mind, she doesn't actually have that confidence in herself, even though she's trying to fake it like she does, in a sense, you know? And I think you see in her that she would rather be that person that comes across as confident because she doesn't want people to know those insecurities that she does still have. And especially because a lot of the people, obviously, in her school and her community, they don't actually know what she's doing online. So it's kind of like, you know, that's given her this confidence, but nobody really knows why she suddenly has it. And it was a very interesting story. And I fell for her a lot in that. Like I loved seeing her story progression. I think she made a lot of really bad decisions and she kind of irritated me in some of her decisions. But I think that was an excellent character story. That was a good character arc that they did with that. And also going back to the story about Jules, like super honestly, like you almost forget that she is transgender, really. Like when she's going throughout the story and the show progresses and everything, you're not even thinking that. You genuinely are just thinking that it's just this female. And like, you're not even, you don't even think of that because like her character is so captivating in who she is as a person that you're not even thinking about it. And so, cause I mean, there honestly were moments where I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know, because she's just living her, she's living her life as a female, as a woman. And honestly, like, yeah, like I actually forgot in some instances and some episodes that was her story, you know? So I think that was an interesting thing to do, but also kind of cool because you're right. It doesn't take you out of who that character is. It doesn't take you out of the moment. It doesn't take you out of the show knowing that about this character or knowing that about this actor or actress, you know, it's just kind of what it is. And that's a testament to the writing and also to the acting because you're not thinking about that with that. So,
Yeah. And I mean, and what you said about Kat, just to go back to her really quick, is totally right. And you could tell that the confident sexual Kat, dominatrix Kat, it is an armor. And yeah. And like you said, and that's what's so great about the layers of the show is that you see her take on this new persona. But that's kind of what it is. It's a persona. And it's almost like there are times where she's trying to live that and trying to kind of adapt herself to that persona, and she does appear more confident, and she does appear more attractive and everything like that. But then there's this real her, and that shines through in those scenes, like what you talked about, like when Ethan was talking to the cute girl and she didn't know what the conversation was about, but her insecurities made her mad at him and think, oh, he must be talking to that cute girl, right, or whatever. So,
and he has no idea why. Yeah. Like, I'm like, that's so sad. Yeah. She didn't even explain to him what happened there.
Yeah. And that's, and so you see that even with that exterior that she now has, yes, those, the real her still shines through. And it's the real her that really wants to be loved and everything like that and be accepted. But, and she's still really looking for that despite all these changes. So she found something. She found some sense of empowerment, but it's not exactly what it needs to be. And that's just, that's life, man. Like, oh, yeah. I really just feel like that is definitely a microcosm for life. You're constantly going and trying to figure things out and trying different things. And sometimes you do a fake it till you make it. Sometimes you do try to run from those things that are your insecurities and things like that. But it's truly overcoming those is where the change really happens. So it's just nice to see that exhibited on this show. So like you said, yeah, man, you were totally right on that. And yeah, with Jules, that is the great thing about it, is that you were right, man. That there were times where I would be sitting there and I would just forget, you know, until the character mentioned, oh, well, what if they find out I'm trans? And then, you know, Zendaya would cut her off and go, no, you don't need to think about that. It's not that, you know, it's just dangerous to go meet somebody randomly alone or whatever. Like sometimes the show would remind me, but I wouldn't even be thinking about that. Yeah. I'm just watching this girl go through this journey, and she was just so captivating. And the costume design, whoever did these outfits and how colorful she was, like her and Kat definitely stood out to me. Whoever did the costume design or what they had on, just the vibrant colors and the way it all went together. Like I was just captivated by those two characters. And then speaking of colors and things like that and just technical stuff, man, the cinematography of this show.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, my God, dude. Like, and it's crazy because it felt like something was always happening, or the world that they create here is so vibrant, the town and what's going on. And there are just so many like brilliant shots that really visually represent what a character is doing or feeling. Like, and that was an interesting thing. Like on some of these HBO episodes, if you watch it through to the end, sometimes they have the director or they have a certain actor or actress kind of talking about their character and what, you know, what this character means or what this character represents or what this character's trying to do. And one of the interesting things they said is that I want to say the director said something like, you know, we tried to have some of these faraway shots where the actor or the actress would just be by themselves. And it would seem like there's this whole big world and it's just them. They feel like they are isolated to this issue and they've got to handle it themselves. And that really shined through, man. Like there were scenes where I remember one in particular. One time it was Zendaya on a bike, and then another time it was Jules on a bike. But where there's a light shining on them and they're just riding through like this dark area of the town or whatever, and it's just them on this bike and it's panned out and everything just looks so big and they look so small, and like there were just so many brilliant parts like that. Another part that stood out to me, and then I'll let you go, I feel like I'm hogging here but I was fascinated with the show. Like another great scene was at the end of episode 4 where Jules and Zendaya are in bed, and it's like a revolving door shot.
Yes.
So like the bed is revolving, and as it revolves and flips, we're seeing different scenes, and it revolves. And each time it revolves, we see like a different level of how their relationship is coming together. So they're in bed that first time, then they're on the side of a wall at school, then they're in a different bed and they're kissing each other, then it spins again, and then they're laying there just looking into each other's eyes. And man, that was just such an awesome visual effect to kind of show the time passing, but at the same time show the budding relationship. So there were just so many like visually splendid scenes like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the fact that they had like perfect music and soundtrack going with that cinematography that they were doing. One of the parts or one of the scenes that stands out for me is actually the very last scene of the whole series when it's in Aya, when she's singing and she's doing like, it's basically like a music video, but it's really her just on a trip or something, right? I think it was just her tripping and like that, her experience with that, because she's so like hurt and she's so sad because Jules has just left. And so it's just basically what's kind of going on in her mind while she's, you know, not in her mind, if you will. So it was beautiful. It was so beautiful how they did that. But I mean, I really, not that they don't really do the male characters well here, but just the female characters and just the light that they kind of bring to different issues that females have. Because also thinking about that too, Cassie's character, I really felt for her a lot too, like, because she was fantastic too, because she's that girl that's really just like, I didn't feel this this love from my father that I should have. He left, he didn't stay, no one's gonna stay unless I do these things for them. And that's kind of her mindset with that. And it's heartbreaking, but it's also a very real thing that a lot of people, especially like I've even heard stories about this too, where that's just how people feel. Like they act out in that way, or they act that way in general, just because they didn't feel like they had a very strong support system growing up with some parent usually. And it just was like hearing her backstory and everything with her, like that was, I think, a great episode as well, because you see a little bit of that. And it's not like she's just trying to get attention for the sake of getting attention, but she just does not feel valuable or worth anything unless she's getting this attention from these guys. And you know how it talks about that she basically fell in love with every guy that she ever dated. And she's also a high schooler. So that makes total sense. And it's very realistic to that. And my heart just broke for her character. I just was like, that poor thing. Like, you know what I mean? She just went through so much. She had to kind of be an adult, but not at the same time, like just trying to protect the people that she loved, like her dad, you know, not telling anybody when he came back and took a bunch of stuff and just all
Yeah, that was crippling.
Yeah.
And the actress, man, the look on her face and just the hurt in her eyes, man.
And then
she did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, exactly. And just the fact that everybody else, including her sister, just feels like your life is perfect. Like everyone's always thought you were just this beautiful person. And like, what do you have to be worried about? Or, you know, like your life is great kind of attitude towards her, because they feel like she's probably had everything handed to her. And then you see this backstory and you kind of see a little bit more of her mental state and kind of just how she feels and her insecurities. And you realize that's not at all the case. And I think that she was so good at being that character. And that speaks to a lot of teenage girls, honestly, I feel like. And so I'm really glad that they kind of showed that character, and just seeing that she's got like this really good heart and she means well, but she's just overtaken by this like needing approval from these guys. And to just hear the one guy who she almost cheated on her boyfriend with, but didn't, just to hear him and him saying like, you're boring, there's nothing about you that guys would be into except for how you look, basically. And that was that destroyed me. I was like, that has to be the absolute worst thing that she's ever heard from a guy. And it just kind of, I think, probably reinforced in her how she already felt about herself. And having someone else say that out loud to her, especially a guy that she's wanting the attention from, sort of, it's like, man, that was rough, you know? So just these relationships that they give these high schoolers, they're deep and they are dysfunctional like crazy, but they're very realistic. I mean, I can think of a handful of people, even in high school, even in college or whatever, that have had that mentality or just had personalities of a lot of the people that I've seen in this show. And I love that they really respected and put care into the different characters and their stories, because like each one of those storylines, tell me that there's not someone you know that's similar in some way to one of those characters at least, you know? And I love that they did that.
Yeah. And And what you said about Cassie, that was all great stuff. And I love that character too. Beautiful actress, by
the way.
Yeah,
she's beautiful.
And just a very talented actress. But yes, I love that story because I've had friends who have gone through something similar, and it's like they need this validation from a guy. You know, they need that relevancy from a guy. And I've known females who have battled with that and gone through that growing up in high school and even beyond that. And some are still fighting those battles. You know, sometimes sometimes that can become a lifelong struggle.
For sure.
So, and I love how they showcase that with her. And even with her, with her boyfriend, like when they went to the carnival, and whenever they were in front of Nate and he said, oh, are you guys an item now? Are you guys in a relationship? And he went, oh, we're just chilling now. And we're just chilling right now. And how hurt she was because of that, like, and how she wanted him to be proud that he was with her and everything like that. But sadly, and almost kind of ironically, just at that moment in the show, he's worried because she's got this reputation of sleeping around and stuff like that. And it's not that she is this slut or whatever the term is, but she's really just trying to find that validation. And she really loved these guys and really trusted them and everything like that. And even that misunderstanding, in a way, is coming back to haunt her because of video and technology and people sharing stuff and stuff like that. Like, and so, yes, that is a very like tragic thing, because you know what, because we know what type of person she really is, and she doesn't deserve that reputation at all. But yet,
right,
sadly, it's part of what cripples her. And it's like, it's inescapable, man. Just what her father started with everything that happened with him. So yeah, a very tragic story.
Yeah. And you also think about when it's going through her life and her growing up and when she became like this teenager who was, you know, developing and things like that. The only thing that ever got her the attention, even from male family members, was like, oh, you've grown up so much. Or not even family members, but like the friends that they had at the house all the time. Like the only time that she ever got that attention was after she became, you know, developed and things like that. And so that's the really kind of the only thing she's known from guys. So she feels like that's really what her value is. And side note, did you recognize her in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? She was one of the cult ladies.
Oh, she was? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she looked familiar.
She was like the one on that was kind of the lookout that kept saying like, okay, he's over there talking to so-and-so when Brad Pitt's at the ranch.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
She's great. She's a great actress. She's really great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really felt for her character. Like that's something that it needs to be talked about more, because that's something that so many teenage girls go through, and a lot of these things, like what Kat goes through, as feeling like, because I'm not, you know, like a size 2, I cannot be an attractive person to people. And all of these characters and just their struggles, like this show really brings them to light, and I love it because it's needed. You know what I mean? Especially for teenagers. And not to say like I think teenagers necessarily need to be watching this show, because man, It's a lot, and there's a lot of really not good stuff to be watching in it if you're a teenager or anything, but just the message that they give to, like, this is what happens, you know, and like it's so real and it's so raw, and I love that they're doing that, because you really feel like these characters are real people. And it's just such a testament to how the stories are written. And let's also just talk about all these newcomers too, like Fezco, like what in the world, that guy who plays Zendaya's drug dealer, or kind of just like the local drug dealer, really. He is fantastic. And this is like his debut acting. He has never done anything before this.
Angus Cloud.
Yes. And I'm just like, this dude is phenomenal. Like, he's so good. You know, and I really wanted to know more about his character, and I'm hoping they'll do it maybe next season. And I hope also there is a next season. But, you know, like, even at the end of it, you're like, what happened to him? You know, you're always, for me at least, anytime he was on screen around these other drug dealers, I was so concerned that he was about to die because he's in it really deep. He's really deep in it. And, but he's such a good character, and you really just, he's like this badass, like, I'll take care of myself and I'll take care of the people I care about. But you do see that he also has the heart, you know, he really, like, especially in relation to Rue, he loves Rue. He always says Rue's like family. You know, I feel personally like he does maybe have a thing for her, but doesn't want to admit it maybe. But like, I just, the dynamic they have is really great, because you just, like, if you ever, like, if anybody can bring out that heart in Fez, it's her, basically, because all the scenes you see with them, it's like this, you know, like, I really care about you, I want to protect you, I want to keep you safe kind of thing. And he does it in his own way that he knows how, which is normally just kind of like trying to shut down all the stupid things that she wants to do, you know, but it's such a loving thing that he's actually doing. And I just, he was a very mysterious character, and it made me want to know more about him.
Yeah. And the way he carried himself as far as his acting, he just had that swagger about him and that way about him. I mean, if I had never met him, I would have swore he was a drug dealer. I would have swore the person who played him, he had to have lived some of that life. And who knows? I don't know the actor's background, but man, he was so believable as this person. And like you said, that drug dealer with the heart of gold, like, there were so many great scenes with him and Zendaya. I mean, as far as the people she was on screen with, those are some, besides Jules, those are probably some of her best interactions with other characters in the series. And man, that was heart-wrenching, man, whenever she came to his compound or whatever and was trying to get him to open up the door.
That was crazy.
And give her some drugs. Yeah. And she started yelling at him and saying, why don't you open it up? And why don't you help fix me? You're the reason why I'm broken. You introduced me to drugs. This is happening because of you. And you're to blame for this. I'm suffering right now. And it's because of you. And now you're going to shut me out. And my God, that was so good. And the look on his face, that he wasn't saying much of anything, but the look on his face, how hurt he was. And you could tell that was cutting him deeply. Like, he does feel some responsibility for what happened to her. And the fact that she almost died and kind of got this second chance and came back and everything, you can just tell that he does have genuine love and concern for her. And that hurt him to hear that he might have had something to do with her almost dying. And
it's almost like he wants to redeem himself now too, because of that. Like, I don't want this to ever happen again. And also, side note, that scene when Zendaya is out there just like desperately pleading with him to let her in, I think she should get an Emmy just for that scene.
My
like that
goodness.
Was phenomenal. Yeah. That was some crazy good acting.
Yeah, like she's,
I, I hope she has a long career. She's so good.
Yeah, already. And what is she, 21, 22? That's ridiculous.
I think she's 21. I know. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you hear about all these other, like, Disney stars. And, like, I have nothing against any Disney stars because some of them really have done great stuff after. But, like, just seeing the range, I don't think I've seen any Disney star to have as much range as her. Personally, like me seeing them, but I mean, you're just like, man, she is just like super talented. Like, it's insane. She can be an Oscar winner, you know. And I actually forget that she's in The Greatest Showman too. I did forget about that. But I mean, she can sing, she can dance, she's like a triple threat for real. And I think that she's going to have a super long career, especially after this. Like, if you see her in this and you don't want to hire her for literally any role that you're making for a movie, then something's wrong with you. Like, she's like, I was never really like a huge, like, oh yeah, I love Zendaya. Like, I was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, she's good. She's fine. You know, I was kind of indifferent towards her in general because I hadn't seen her in much, but this show made me a huge fan of her. You know, honestly, just the writing and all of it, you know, and even the episode where she is so depressed that she won't even get out of bed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which is like 5 feet away. I'm like, that, I felt that, like, in the sense of, man, that is some seriously deep depression that she's going through. Like, that bathroom is like 5 feet away from her. And I was so on edge too, because I was like, just do it. Like, you're going to hurt yourself if you don't, you know? And just even her explaining, like, she's like, I know it sounds crazy and all this, like, just hearing her thoughts with her monologue that she's doing and her narrating and just explaining why she doesn't. And I'm like, man, this is such a well-written show.
Yeah. And I mean, and the thing is that her talent, I mean, I just can't express how great she was in this. And like you said, I'm definitely a believer now. Like, she is fantastic. I was very, very impressed with her in this. And the thing is that she's all over it. She has to narrate. She interacts with all these different characters. She has to go through this relationship. Then there's the interactions with her mom and her sister. Then there's kind of, she's also a part of the, like, she's all over this and just wins every scene, wins every time, just absolutely crushes it. Every single time, no matter who else is on the screen, whether it's just her or whether it's just some sort of crazy camera shot of her doing something, roller skating, she just crushed all of it. Like, she really does. Like, I can't say that enough. And that, I mean, just her acting performance, like you said, man, I wouldn't be surprised if some awards were picked up for this. Because there's just a lot of excellent stuff and a lot of excellent material. And the crazy thing is that, like you said, the first time actor, Angus, playing the Fez character. And then even the girl that plays Jules, that's a first time actress. So like, there are people, Hunter Schafer, who played Jules, she's a first time actress. So man, there were people who just broke out and they were just absolutely phenomenal in this, you know?
They were so seasoned. You feel like they've been doing it for years.
Exactly. Like it doesn't feel like, and I think, like you said, that's a testament to the writing and the direction. I think they really allowed them to really try to pull from their own experiences, because when you watch some of those anatomy of the scenes or behind the movie things that are at the end of these episodes, these actors and actresses are talking about what they brought to this character or how they analyzed this character would be or how they pulled from their own experiences. And I think that's why everything just comes off as so believable, because these actors and actresses were allowed to do those things. You can just tell nobody was handcuffed. Like it doesn't feel like that at all. And I think that is definitely a testament to the writing and the direction for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just, yeah, like, it doesn't lose you at any point. Like, pretty much every episode from beginning to end, you're just kind of like, I want to know what's going to happen here. And also, is her name Madeline? Nate's girlfriend, I think, yes. Is her name.
Oh, yeah.
She was great, too. Like, and I kind of love that they, when they go through the description of Nate's type and who he's into and the things that he's attracted to, Madeline's not the first thing that you think about. Just because, yeah, you know, she's all sassy and she's got her own personality and she's a really independent person, it seems like. And so you feel like that's not the person he's going to go for when describing what he's into. But totally, like, their dynamic together, too, is it is intense and it's also very believable. And again, with the story of, you know, the girl who is in a very abusive relationship and doesn't know how to get out or doesn't want to get out of it in some way, you could tell that, yeah, she wanted out, but she was also scared to be out of it. Like, she, because she did love him, or she does love him, and so she doesn't want to leave him, but she also knows that she kind of needs to. It really is that very intense, passionate relationship of, like, I hate you, but I love you. And, you know, it's crazy that it's in a high school setting, because I feel like those relationships don't usually happen until you're, you know, later on in life. But there are some that do start in high school, because also in high school, you're so young still, and you don't really know what love truly can be, or you don't really know what a relationship really should look like. And so I could see that those situations would totally happen, where it's really just infatuation, and it could be love, but it's also just the infatuation and the passion of it. And that's kind of what's driving this relationship, you know?
Yeah. And with her story, it was also a very intriguing, very interesting one too, because, and I think it's kind of also a case of, well, some passion is better than no passion, because when you look, yeah, at her family upbringing and her parents, there's the marriage that she has grown up with was devoid of that completely, you know. And there was that scene where she's, right, talking to her mom and she's like, well, he's just been sitting there on the couch since I was 10 years old, and you guys live in the same house and you don't even say a word to one another. So you also feel that this is a character that she's looking at her parents' relationship and saying, I can have better than that. I will have, yeah, be better than that. I'm not, yep, going to be that. So this passion, even though it's bad for me sometimes, even though I've got marks on my neck and it's abusive and it's not, and it may not be exactly what I need, that raw passion that we have for each other and that back and forth is better than, yeah, what I've grown up with. No passion, one guy on the couch, one person is doing nails for all these rich people and stuff like that. Like that. And then even just her fascination with doing nothing, as Zendaya described it, or being this person and understanding that, you know, she wanted to become a person who makes a man feel a certain way because she can get things out of it. And that's kind of what they are to each other. They're both kind of using each other, Maddie, yeah, and Nate. But, and so it's a destructive relationship, but due to kind of the parents and stuff, you can kind of see why they're drawn to each other and why that passion is so real to them at the same time. So it's, yeah, it's that was that whole thing between them is very intriguing as well.
Yeah. And I think it is interesting, because now that you're saying that too, I think about a lot of this show really is kind of, it shows a lot of the effects of what an upbringing can do to a person, and how parents or childhood or just your family background, it really is a huge factor into your actions as you grow up, and you're able to make more of your own decisions. And it's really how your upbringing really has a lot to play into that. And I think that that's also very important. And not to say that, you know, let's all always blame parents for our bad choices, but just realistically looking at the psychology of it, you think, yeah, I mean, if this is, you either want to be exactly like your parents, or you want to do the exact opposite of them. Madeline wanted to do the exact opposite. Nate wanted to do the exact same thing. So it's just kind of interesting to see that being played out in a relationship with two people who had opposite types of upbringings, but their actions affected it so differently. And I also think it's interesting how, again, when they were describing Nate's type and who he was into, and Rue narrating saying Nate loved the fact that Madeline was a virgin, or that he thought she was. And that was very interesting because, you know, like, I wonder if, I mean, you have to assume that that has to be because he's seen all these tapes that his dad has of the people that he's having sex with. And he's just kind of like, I don't want to imagine that someone I'm with has done those things with someone. And it was just very, yeah, a very interesting little kind of character quirk that he had. And, you know, especially because he was so violent too. And it turned out, I actually, you know, the first few episodes, I was like, maybe he is so deeply horrified at the things that his dad has done to these people he's taped and recorded, that he's just going to be the most gentle, loving, like, best boyfriend ever. Or like, I'm going to protect you so much that I would do anything, I would kill for you. And then it turns out that he's actually just as violent, if not more so, than his dad. And it just kind of was interesting because he, you could tell he doesn't even see it that way. He doesn't even see that he's like that, because you could tell he's trying so hard, yeah, to not be his dad that he's turning into his dad, you know?
Yep, exactly. The man, that was a very astute point that you made about him. And yeah, the virgin thing, I mean, I knew he liked that, but the way you said that, man, the light bulb just went off. And I was like, ah, that is exactly why he's infatuated with that, because he wants to control that too. He doesn't want, yeah, somebody who could have a history of that, or who could be doing this double thing, or who could be, you know, the need to control everything is kind, right, of because of the way his dad was. And yeah, you're right. He's losing control. And so that's a very great point. And then I also liked how, and this will be the last thing I say, and then we can move on to dislikes if you want. But another thing I liked is that there are also good parents in this. You know, just parents who genuinely feel like Rue's mom. Mm-hmm. She's a good, great, parent. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's concerned. She's loving and tender, and they have arguments and disagreements, but she's being, you know, very cautious. And I want you to take the P test because we got to overcome this. You got to do better. And she's rooting for her daughter to do better. And she's gone through a lot too. And they lost a father and everything like that. So that's a good parent. You know, I feel like she's a good parent that's just caught in this. And I like that too, how it shows you can even be a good parent. And sometimes it's just, you know, your kid goes through things and you, right, can't quite pinpoint everything. It's not as necessarily your fault, but you're just trying to be the best possible parent you can. Jules' dad is a good parent.
Yeah.
You know, very, very accepting, very loving. They spend time with each other. He doesn't give her a hard time, and he's definitely interacts with her. And I like how he's like, you know, we're going to have days where it's just you and me and we're going to eat together. Like, and she goes to that, and they have good interactions. So there's a good parent. So I just love this show because of that. It's not like one theme just carries every character, everything like that. You can see similarities and character insecurities and stuff, but they all come from different roots and different, yeah, things. And it's like you said, it all just feels so real.
Yes. And
you know, it really,
I
does.
Love that. It's very, everybody is very human. You see the good and bad in every single character that's on the show. And I love that.
Yes.
And it's,
yes,
funny too, because thinking about the parent relationships, you know, I guess maybe encouragement for any parents out there listening, but like, even good parents are going to fight like crazy with their kids. I mean, you see all the crazy yelling that Rue and her mom do, and you know, and it's just like, she's a great parent, but I mean, when your kid's going through stuff, like, you're gonna fight. You're gonna have those days when you're not gonna feel like a great parent, but it doesn't mean you're not. And then also thinking about Fezco and how he's looking after his grandma, and And it's funny because you just, I think it's kind of like a, just kind of the irony of it. Cause you're just kind of like, he seems like he's a loner and he's like all about himself. And like, I'm going to do what I can to survive. But he takes such good care of his grandma and he loves her so much. And it's just, it's so interesting to just see these dynamics of the characters you think are going to be the ones that are just kind of independent and don't care about their families are the ones that end up caring more, showing more of that love and respect for their families than the ones who have great parents that, you know, they're just kind of off the rails with it.
Yeah. And that's just such, and that's real. That is real life. And I mean, they just really captured that. And it almost just kind of seems like it's not even necessarily to say this person is good, this person is bad, this person is terrible, this person is great. It's not even a show like that,
right,
about labels like that. It's just people. This is just who this person is. This is just this character's journey, and take of it what you will.
People
you
being
know,
people.
This is this person. Yep. This is people being people, and take for it what you will. And hopefully you can find layers of yourself in these people. You can see some of yourself in these people. You can understand these journeys because in a way you can see yourself in some of these characters, whether you relate to being insecure about something or whether you relate to kind of being rebellious against your parents or whether you relate to kind of trying to be more like them or whatever the case may be. It's all there. And I just feel like you can pick bits and pieces from each of these characters and you understand them. You understand where they're coming from and you can relate to them, even if that, you know, the circumstances aren't the same, but there's some layer of them that you can grasp onto that feels real. So yeah, you're totally right about that. All right. So on to just some of the dislikes, and we'll cover some of that because we had a lot of likes. But were there any things, just looking back at the season, that you didn't like or would have liked to have seen, or unanswered questions, just anything that stood out to you as things maybe you didn't like so much in the series?
Honestly, it's really hard to say because it's not a show that I sit and think like, oh my gosh, I recommend this show to a bunch of people, which obviously we'll get into that too. But it's, I mean, I can't think of a lot of things about it that aren't done so well for what they were trying to do with it. I mean, it is definitely a show that you come out of it or you stop watching it and you're going to be a little bit depressed after you watch it, kind of like Game of Thrones sometimes, but it's great TV. It is great writing. It's great storytelling. And, so it's hard to find things that I would say I don't like about it. I think if I have to kind of be picky about it, I do notice that there's not a whole lot of comedy in it. And I do kind of wish, because they are kids and they are high schoolers, like they do have a lot of funny things happen. And I feel like high schoolers are a little bit more lighthearted than they might come across in this show sometimes. So I kind of maybe wish they had a little bit more of the funny of the characters, or just more humorous situations or things like that. They do it a little bit, but not as much as I really feel like maybe they could have, to make it a little bit even more realistic to how teenagers are in general. This did a lot more of the heavy and dark stuff to it than the lighthearted, which is probably the point of it. But I could have stood to see a little bit more of the humorous side of things in the show with some of the characters. And I guess probably, I mean, just the fact that it is so depressing, like you just, I think in some of the scenarios and how things play out for some of the characters, I just kind of wish that they would go down differently. I just kind of want to take these kids and be like, no, you can make better decisions. I promise you life gets better, you know? And I think part of it's just more of like, kind of like in life in general, how sometimes I'm like, well, I do not like how that's working out for them, you know, but it's not anything about the show necessarily itself. It's just, and I think that's also a beautiful thing though, too, where it's like, yeah, I mean, there's terrible things happening and some of these situations are just not going to work out well at all, but that's also life. And so while I don't like it because I always want things to work out well for the protagonists of stories, it's also very realistic. So I really cannot knock it because I think that we need more stuff like that. So it's hard to say, but I would say maybe just a little bit more humor and a little bit less of the darkness of the situations these kids are getting themselves into.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And for me, I definitely agree with you in the sense that, man, there's not really a lot to pick apart about this. Like, there's nothing that just stood out to me as, well, why that was stupid or why that was in there. If anything, if I had any gripes, it was just that I didn't get more stuff. It would have been cool to have seen something about Fez and why he is the way he is. I hope he gets a Zendaya narration in the second season. I get that he wasn't like a major character. Like, he wasn't one of the like major characters that they were discussing, but it would be interesting to see some of his life, find out how him and Rue met, see some of that, and kind of see why Fez is where he is. And then that other little kid that's with him and is smart and so technologically savvy and stuff like that. So I almost feel like there's an adventure there. There's something that could be narrated there that would just be great. Yeah, him. He was great too in the few scenes he was in. So I think there's more that could be done there with them. And anytime I got some of them, I was happy to get them. And when they weren't there, I was like, man, I miss those characters. So, you know, I just would have liked to have seen something like that. But did it take away from this? Not necessarily. I'm just so intrigued by the character. I just wanted more of the character. And this
is that his brother? They're brothers, right? Or am I making that up?
I think so. I want to say yes. And then just really the only other nitpicks are just kind of, I guess you could say, story things, but not really. Well, I'll just go ahead and say what I'm thinking. But, and I believe you brought this up when we had a phone conversation. Where was Cassie's boyfriend McKay at the prom? Like going back and thinking about it, because you brought that up during a phone conversation, and going back and thinking about it, you're right about that. He was like nowhere to be found in that whole thing. And she was just kind of like chilling by herself. So I don't know. We needed something to kind of put together the dots there. Did they have some sort of final argument and decide? Did he decide he wasn't going? Did he make up some excuse and really something else is going on? Like, what happened with him? It was weird because he's a pivotal part of this. You know, he got an origin story and everything too. And that was good. Another good one about just the pressure he was feeling and trying to be this football player and, you know, putting all of his hopes and dreams into that. He kind of reminded me of my brother, because my brother kind of went through a similar journey with football and stuff like that. And then the realization that, man, all these people are good and the chances of me making it. So his insecurities were there too. So that was a character that they put a lot of mileage in. So it was weird that he didn't have a presence in their finale episode. So I totally feel your sentiment with that. That was definitely a good one. And I definitely agree that that was definitely something that was missing. But other than that, man, there aren't too many things that I would just say I didn't like. Like, initially, I think some of the characters would make a decision and I would go, oh, what was that about? Or couldn't they just talked about that? Or couldn't they have just discussed that? But then as the series goes on and explain things, then you think about that scene again and you totally understand, okay, that's why Kat did that. Or that's why this character said that. Or that's why this character reacted this way. Because you understand as it goes along and you learn more about these characters exactly why they're doing certain things. So for the most part, I was satisfied. But yeah, those would be just a few nitpicks that I had.
I did have one more thing I thought of too for a dislike. I understand what the story's about and that you're going to have some of that violence and some of that sex in there and things like that. I do feel like there were points where it was a little bit gratuitous, though. Like, you didn't actually need to have as much of that violent sex and, in general, all of that with all of the teenagers and everything as they had in it. I mean, and like I said, like, it is, there's never the point of it. It's not realistic, but it's just more of like, sometimes you feel like they were just kind of, at least for me, it felt like they were just kind of adding it in to add it in because it's HBO and you can. So I just kind of feel like that might be a little bit, I feel like some of it was a little bit gratuitous with what they were trying to do. But it didn't take away from the story or any of the characters or anything like that. It was just kind of like, well, you could have made that point without doing all of that and us having to see all of that, because some of it was really hard to watch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely brutally honest and visually honest about a lot of those sexual encounters and sexual things and stuff like that. And that is something where if you're not ready for it, and I guess we can just go move along right into recommendations and stuff. Because I think this is a good segue. But like what you're saying, That is a reason why when I'm thinking about who to recommend this to, I struggle a little bit, because I know that there are people who, if I tell them this is good and they go check it out, I don't know if they're going to be able to stomach some of the scenes. I don't know if they're going to be able to sit through hearing that this person's first sexual encounter was 14, or, oh, how old are you, 16? Oh, well, I don't care, I'm unzipping my pants. Like, there's a lot of stuff, you know, there's a lot of like risque stuff. Or, and one scene that really comes to mind is just the scene with Kat, where she first goes on the online porn thing and meets one of these guys for the first time. And I mean, it is straight up full frontal nudity, and the guy is jerking off, and he wants to be humiliated by her. And I mean, it's showing all of this. So I know that when I say, oh, this is great, and I recommend this, I know that there are going to be certain people that wouldn't be able to handle this, and they are going to see some of the sex scenes and some of the nudity and stuff like that. And when you think about the age that some of these are supposed to be children and things like that, and they're supposed to be really younger high school kids, I could see that bothering some people. I could definitely see them going, well, was all that really necessary? Or I could definitely see them having trouble stomaching some of this stuff, because it's some hard, brutal stuff. So I do recommend, but I have to recommend with some cautions. And I will say that I don't believe this is for everyone. This is definitely not your grandmother's high school drama saga.
Do you have a score for it?
Oh yeah, how could I forget that? So overall, I really enjoyed this. I honestly think that this is an A. So I'm going to go with 90 revolving panel door scenes of Zendaya and we'll use the character names of Rue and Jules falling in love out of 100. I really do think that this is a solid A, man. I really enjoyed this. The acting performances are top notch. Some of the best I've seen all year. The cinematography and the way that the story is told, always moving, vibrant colors, great cinematography, and the lessons and the things that the layered characters are so intriguing throughout. I mean, I was so sad when this ended, because I was so sad that I have to wait till 2020 or whenever for a season two, and hopefully that happens. But man, I was so sad when this ended, because this was such a fun, entertaining, thought-provoking, dare I say, risk-taking ride that I really appreciated.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. I mean, I'll start out with my score, which for what it is, I also would give it an A, just because of how unique and different and just well performed show this was. I'll give it like a, let me give it like a 91 psychedelic trip scenes out of 100. It's very well done, and it's beautiful storytelling. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting sort of like take that I have on this show, just because my movie going and my movie critic side, or my entertainment critic side, says that everything about this show is fantastic, but it does affect my recommendation, because the other side of me, I have a hard time with some of the things that they show in it, like being able to see it and not cringe or not just really take it to heart and feel like, man, that's really heavy. And so kind of like you, where it's like recommended if you're able to sort of separate your internal feelings about certain things with it, because I have a few friends and sometimes myself included, where it's like, if you watch certain things, it triggers something, or it causes you to kind of take like this mental path that you don't want to really be taking. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a show that would 100% do that if you're not prepared for it, or if you're not really mentally in that state to be able to handle it. I had to take it in strides myself, just because, and I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't binge this all in like a day or a weekend. I'm glad that I did just kind of watch it week to week, because that would have honestly been the case for me, where I would have had to just kind of take a break and be like, this is too much to take in. And it's a lot of really dark things that I don't want to be thinking about, you know? So I say watch, proceed with caution, if you will, because it is fantastic storytelling and acting and raw and real. And I love that about it so much, because it's probably up there with one of the best I've seen in that department. But I also, there are just so many things where I'm like, if I were to sit there and watch this all day long, it would depress me, or it would make me go down a rabbit hole trail of thinking that I don't need to be going down. So I would just say proceed with caution with the show. But if you're able to handle it and you feel like you're mentally at a place where you can deal with drug addiction and sex addiction and perverse things and violence and abuse and things like that, if you can mentally handle that and you're in a place where you won't let it affect your mental thinking, yes, I absolutely recommend it. But definitely not for people that are under the age of 21. So it's so hard, because like I have so many amazing things to say about the show, but it's for a very specific type of audience, I think. But definitely, I mean, sort of like Game of Thrones is too. I mean, there's a lot of the same kind of thing with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I recommend it in the sense that it's great storytelling, cinematography, and acting. So yeah, that's it's a tricky one, but it's definitely, I think, worth a watch if you can handle it.
Awesome. Yeah. And I definitely share that same sentiment. Like, and I think you really said it all. But yeah, that's a big warning going into this show. This show is wonderful. It's fantastic. But you do have to understand that you're going to see just about everything in this. Like you said, there's abuse.
Right.
There's, you know, you got transgenders in here, you got lesbians in here, you got people who are gay and there's gay stuff in here. There's all kinds of morally gray, morally controversial decisions that the characters are making and different things like that. So there's a lot to take in here. And this is definitely not for everybody. I can't sit here and say, oh yeah, I just recommend anybody watch this. That's not true. I would just be lying to myself if I said that this was for that anybody could just pick this up and enjoy it. Not necessarily. I think this is one of those where you have to just go in with an open mind, and you got to, if you're, and like you said, there are things that I know for a fact will trigger people. And things like that. And there'll be some things that they couldn't handle about this show, but for what it is, but to me, that's life. These characters and these situations come from very real places. These are real people's lives. These people exist. And at some point, I'm glad that these stories are being told, because they're interesting stories, and what the youth goes through, you know, people who didn't grow up in high school with the internet access and what we have access to now, it's a different animal, man. And this is definitely a wake up call to some of that stuff as well. So I recommend it. Yes. And even though I know not everybody can handle this, to me, this is a necessity. Like this kind of stuff needs to be out there and needs to keep coming out there, because it's so important that these stories are told and understood. But yes, I definitely agree. Proceed with caution. for some people.
Yeah, definitely. I really hope they do have another season. I haven't heard anything either way, but I hope that they do. Because there's so many storylines, too, that I'm like, what happened here? And like you said, especially with, what's his name, Mac or McKay or something, Cassie's boyfriend?
McKay. Yeah.
Yeah. McKay. He, I honestly, it's like, I did enjoy his storyline, too. But I do feel like Fesco was a little bit more of a main character than him, and they didn't do a backstory on him. So I really, and there are still some, and even Cassie's sister, who was, I guess, Rue's best friend, they didn't really do one on her either. So there are just a lot of, and they probably did it on purpose so that if there is a season two, they can kind of go into more of it and keep the same format of what they were doing, which is smart to do. But it's just like, I'm so intrigued by all these characters. I just want to know about all of them now. So it's an interesting thing. But I really hope that they continue the show because it's a little bit groundbreaking in a way. You see a lot of teen dramas and things like that. Even on HBO, there's a lot of it. But this one is just, it's kind of its own lane, which I appreciate about it. So I hope it gets awards. I hope it has another season. I hope people are enjoying it. And just the writing and everything is so great. And I always think about, like, how does this affect the people in it? Like the characters, the actual actors playing the characters. Like, how did Zendaya, how has she been affected by playing a role like this? And, you know, it's always just interesting to think about those things because I feel like that's one thing about me. If I ever became an actor in any sort of way, I would just not know how to separate real life from the characters I'm doing because I would be so enthralled and invested in it that it would seem like reality. So I just am always so curious about the behind the scenes of what kind of things did you take away from this playing this character, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can just imagine what it must have been like for some of them when they first got that script and read it, like Hunter, the one who plays Jules. Just imagine her reading that script and what you're going to be doing in episode one. I mean, that's like, like imagine reading that script and this is episode one and going, okay, this is what the character's doing right now at this moment. It's some heavy stuff right away. Like we said, this series doesn't really pull any punches, you know. So I definitely heart that sentiment. Like, I wonder what some of them, how they read it and how they looked into it and everything. And I bet that they were like, surely some of those scenes had to be intense and hard to get through and everything like that. But man, they did so well in nailing those scenes. So, yes, I imagine that there was a lot of work and there was a lot of, oh man, I got to do this. Okay. All right. Let me mentally prepare for this thing.
Right.
I'm sure there was a lot of that. So, man, I could only imagine. I guess the last thing I'll talk about or say or propose to you is that there's been a lot of, like, especially with the ending, there's been a lot of like fan theories and speculation and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of read some stuff and just kind of wanted to get your take on it. But there are fans that are speculating that at the end of that, Rue dies. Like, what that represented was that character dying, like everything that happened and then her kind of being pulled back. It was like she probably, what that was her having a relapse, maybe her ODing again and dying. And the reason why fans are speculating that is because she's the all-time narrator. Why does she know everybody's story? You know, and this is fans reading into stuff, probably too much, but this was just some of the stuff I read and thought it was interesting. You know, she's the all-time narrator. Why does she know everybody's story? Why does she know, why is she aware of everybody and what's going on with them and everything like that? Like, is she kind of omniscient because she's actually not alive, and that's kind of why she can recant and tell all these stories? And then there are just people that think with everything that happened at the end of that, it was imagery to kind of show that she passed away. So I was just wondering what you thought about that. That was just something I read that I thought was interesting.
Oh, wow. I honestly didn't even think about that. That is a very interesting theory. Honestly, yeah. I would be kind of bummed out, obviously, if she did die, because, I mean, she's so phenomenal as the lead in this show. But also, there's just so many storylines that I feel like need to be tied up, and they can't really be if she is dead, you know, because like seeing
right?
Jules leave, and the fact that Jules still did leave, even though Rue backed out. And like, how does that affect their relationship when Jules does come back, if she comes back? And, you know, and just like I took it more as like she was just so depressed and upset that she feels like she caused Jules to leave town and she backed out. She was just so overwhelmed with how much she hated it all that she just went on a bad trip. I didn't see it as her dying. I just saw her as being on a bad trip. The whole like omniscient thing where she knows everybody's stories and everything like that. I mean, that is interesting, but also, I mean, it could be one of those where maybe later on in the series or the show, depending on how many series or seasons they have or what happens with the characters, it's like maybe she finds out all that information about them later because she becomes really good friends with all of them. Like, you just never really know. Like, maybe they all become part of this anonymous group that she's in where she's telling her feelings, like her, not her AA. What is it that she's in? It's like just her rehab thing. It's not AA, but
NA.
Yeah.
I think they call it NA, right? Narcotics Anonymous.
So maybe they become a part of that. And so she hears these things because of those meetings. And there's so many different things that could be as to why she knows that. But also, if we never find out, I honestly don't think that takes away from any of the storytelling of her, like, why does she know that? It's like, well, she's also the narrator. Narrators aren't supposed to be like real people in the story usually anyway. So it's, it doesn't take away if they never explain it, but there's just a lot of other reasons why she could know those things. And I think that if she ends up that she does end up being dead, it takes away from those opportunities that they could do with that and a lot more seasons that they could make from the show if they just kill her off. It would be interesting if, for whatever reason, if she is, to see who they would make as the next narrator of the story. I think that would be interesting. Like, maybe it's her sister, or maybe it's Jules, or maybe it's that perspective kind of thing. So, but you know, it also is like, while she's telling these stories about these people, it is still a little bit of her own opinion of things, at least when she's telling her own story. It's not like, I mean, there's some of the things where she's like, oh, she's, this is something this person would never mention to anybody or anything like that. But especially in certain people's stories, you could tell she has a bias towards how she's talking about it, and especially with her own story. So yeah, there's just a lot of things that could be. That's a very interesting thing. And if they did that, it's a very bold move if they killed her off in that first season. I think that it's a lot of missed opportunities if that's what that is, though.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't want this to be that the character died, though. The imagery and all of the people, I mean, that was a beautiful scene, that music video-ish scene and her going up on this hill of bodies and then just suddenly just falling from that hill of bodies.
Yeah.
So I definitely get the dark, dreary, almost death type of imagery. But I thought, if anything, maybe she relapsed or OD'd was just the first thing, the things that came to my head, or fell into a super deep depression. Maybe like I thought maybe it was one of those before I automatically thought death. And the only thing I'll say about the narration stuff is, like you said, I think most of that was kind of done for artistic reasons, because, for instance, she narrates Nate's story about everything going on with Pim and him finding his dad and stash and stuff like that. But clearly, in the story that we're getting, there's that episode where she's kind of like this inspector, and she's trying to figure out what this thing is between Jules and Nate, and what's going on there, and why Jules was acting so weird and stuff like that. So obviously, her character does not know those things. You know what I mean? Obviously, her character does not know everything that is going on. And when she was trying to figure out what was up with Jules, she was speculating a lot of things. But earlier, if the narrator, if she was this omniscient thing during the narration, then the character would have already known those things. So yeah. I do think that some of that is just kind of artistic things. Like, she's our main character, she's narrating. But even though she's narrating in that moment, it doesn't mean that the character Rue is aware or knows all of that, knows everything at those exact moments. And like you said, this could be stuff that she finds out later. Maybe when this is all resolved, it comes full circle, she does know the whole story. And it kind of explains why she's able to do that. But for me, it worked in an artistic type of way, because I've seen stories of the movies too, where somebody would be narrating everything, but then in the story itself, there are parts where they don't know certain things, but yet they narrated earlier just because of a storytelling element. It was kind of done for like artistic purposes. So I don't know. I feel like there's definitely several ways it could go there as well. But yeah, I want to see Zendaya come back. I mean, could they kill her? And like you said, that would be kind of interesting, an interesting format if someone else suddenly became the narrator. And then it was more about their journey, and her journey ends kind of with that happening tragically or whatever. But I want her to come back. I want her to be alive. I want this to continue with the same characters. And I liked the precedent that she set. And I just think that the show would miss her dearly if she was dead. So I'm going to hope that she's alive and everybody comes back.
100%. Like, I totally agree. And also, I do, something I am curious about though too, is you see the scene, it actually starts out with her mom is actually reading this thing that she wrote for her meeting, where the parents and the loved ones get to come and say something about the person who's, you know, in the, you know, the thing. So yes. I wonder if that, like, when did that take place? You know, was that before prom? Was it after prom? Was it something where maybe she relapsed again and that was actually in the future after this bad trip that she took at the very end of it? Like, it's kind of a little bit up in the air with when that actually took place, you know? So I'm curious on that.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because, yeah, when she's up there giving that speech and everything and talking about what she wrote, yeah. And, oh, no, and now I'm back to the death thing. Or was she dead and her mom was up there talking and she was sitting there as a ghost listening to it?
Right.
Oh, man.
You really don't know. Oh, it's true. Man. Like, think about it. That would be crazy. I mean, because you don't see that scene at the end where she's like, "Mom, that was beautiful. Thanks for saying that," or them like having a hug moment or anything. So it's interesting because it does leave it very up in the air with a lot of options.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I forgot about that scene. Maybe they are onto something, man. Okay. Well, at least we can kind of see where it's coming from, though. I guess at least we can kind of see why somebody could look at some of those scenes and go, is this character alive still? You know, I guess I can see some of it more than I could.
Yeah, I mean, and it wouldn't be the first time that a show has done it where a main character, a major character dies, but you still see them a lot in the show later. So, I mean, it's not the first time that's happened, but man, it would just suck if she's not still the narrator and the story's mostly revolving around her and her journey to become well again.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have anything else to say about Euphoria?
I think I covered pretty much all the stuff I wanted to say.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way. So I guess with that, we will wrap things up. So that's going to do it for us tonight, Cinefans. We hope that you enjoyed this special bonus episode with me and Heather about Euphoria, or I guess it would be Heather and I. We talked about this on another podcast. Yes, Heather and I on this bonus episode of Euphoria. And don't forget to check out all of our other cool content that we have for Cinema Slayers. Cinema_Slayers for that Instagram. Cinema Slayers Podcast, all one word. That's how you can get to our Facebook. Don't forget about CinemaSlayers.com, where you can find all of our most recent downloaded episodes and things like that. And we've got a bunch of other fun content coming out for you. Of course, we've got more movies to watch, and we will be sitting down with Sterling again, another one of our hosts, and reviewing those films and things that come out as well. So we hope that you guys are enjoying this. And remember, we want to hear from you. So please let us know if you saw Euphoria and what you thought of it. I know Heather and I would both be curious to find out what you thought of this show and what you think of this series. And would it be something that you would continue to watch despite all the content that was in it? So let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and watch. And listen to the rest of our episodes. Check out our reviews on cinemaslayers.com. And don't forget that this is Cinema Slayers. We slay cinema, we slay TV, and we really enjoyed you. And thank you for listening to us once again. This is us at Cinema Slayers signing off.